Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Bill Press and Friends on the District Productive Network.
We don't want to call it a news conference because it was not a news conference. Whatever it was the first one that Donald Trump had held in 168 days since July 2016. What's significant about that, if you recall that far back, it was in July 2016 at his last so-called news conference that Donald Trump invited Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's emails to find out what was in her emails. How ironic that yesterday, when Donald Trump meets the press again for the first time in 160 days, it's to talk about the fact that Russia had, in fact, hacked the DNC and Hillary Clinton's emails, her campaign chair, John Podesta. And for the first time, Donald Trump finally admitted that, yes, indeed, it was Russia behind it. That was only the beginning of Donald Trump's news conference yesterday. Actually, let's start where he started. It started with his communications director to be, press secretary to be, Sean Spicer, who was sort of acting as master of ceremonies of the whole event, who told reporters first what's going to happen. He said the president-elect is going to talk about how he's going to separate himself from his financial empire. And then he said, we're going to introduce an attorney who will explain all the legalities of it. And then he'll take a few questions. But then Sean Spicer, first of all, said, oh, no. But first, we got to start out with this report that we talked about yesterday, this supplemental report that the intelligence agencies briefed on which the intelligence agencies briefed President Obama and President-elect Trump, the supplemental report that said, according to a British intelligence expert hired by Donald Trump's political opponents to do some opposition research, that Russia had been feeding Trump information for the last 5 years and that Russia had enough compromising information on Donald Trump in terms of real estate deals and in terms of salacious sexual activities that they could, in fact, blackmail him. Spicer started the attack right from the again, before Donald Trump or Mike Pence even stepped up to the podium.
It's frankly outrageous and highly irresponsible for a left-wing blog that was openly hostile to the president-elect's campaign to drop highly salacious and flat-out false information on the internet just days before he takes the oath of office.
And Sean Spicer lashed out at BuzzFeed. They're the ones who put this document up on their website, the entire document.
And a left-wing blog.
Left-wing blog, right.
It's one of the biggest websites on the internet, but yeah. A left-wing blog. Okay, Sean.
Right. And they're still fighting the campaign. Yeah, they didn't write good stories about us during the campaign. So.
Oh, well.
Right.
BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage.
Yeah, pile of garbage is what Donald Trump called it again.
Some of their reporters were banned from Trump events. Let us not forget.
Right.
Yeah.
So so Sean Spicer does it. Mike Pence got up and attacked BuzzFeed as well. Again, BuzzFeed is one that put up the document on its website, and which we quoted yesterday. And then and CNN just simply reported on the fact that this document existed and that the president and the president-elect and the eight intelligence leaders in Congress were briefed about it, but both BuzzFeed and CNN came under attack yesterday, again, by Sean Spicer, by Mike Pence, and then by Donald Trump. And Donald Trump won't even let CNN ask a question. Jim Acosta, who's one of the best reporters in the business, and is normally the chief White House correspondent for CNN, who's been covering the Trump campaign the entire year and a half. He's in the front row, and Trump won't recognize him.
Go ahead.
Mr. President-elect, since you are attacking our news organization, can you give us a chance?
You
are attacking our news organization. Can you give us a chance to ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir, can you state, Mr. President-elect, can you state categorically, Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question? You're attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you state categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir, can you state categorically that nobody... No, Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
And you see, by the way, the people on the sideline are Trump supporters who are attacking Jim Acosta from the sidelines.
He brought in staffers to clap for him and laugh at his jokes at a press conference.
Yeah. Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
Listen to them.
Yeah.
Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
And what's her name? Omarosa was there saying.
Yeah.
And Sean Spicer threatened to throw Jim Acosta out of the news conference because he dared ask a question. Right. So then Donald Trump, so first they attacked the two news organizations. And then he once again declaring war on the intelligence agencies, accusing them of being in Hillary Clinton's pocket or the pocket of the Democrats. And, I mean, there's no limit to where this guy will go. Accusing our intelligence agencies of being just like Nazi Germany. Yes, you heard right. Nazi Germany, Donald Trump.
I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. I think it's a disgrace.
Wow.
Now, you know, I'm not a historian, but I think we all know that Nazi Germany did a lot of really, really horrible things, some of the most evil acts that we've seen on the history of humankind. But one thing they didn't do, they didn't leak documents that suggested that Adolf Hitler, I mean, they didn't leak documents about Adolf Hitler. That's not what the Nazis were all about. I mean,
if that's your takeaway,
but you know,
you're not paying attention to the right parts of the story.
Well,
even if that did happen, which it most certainly did not.
No.
But even if it did, that's your takeaway? That the media was mean to Adolf Hitler?
Yeah. Anybody, by the way, we've said this before, anybody who cites the Holocaust or Adolf or Hitler, either anybody, or Nazi Germany loses the argument right away.
Yeah.
But the Anti-Defamation League yesterday put out a very powerful statement saying Donald Trump, don't trivialize the Holocaust by throwing it out there and saying that James Clapper or James Comey or the head of any of the other intelligence, John Brennan at the CIA, that any of those people compare them to Nazi Germany. So then Donald Trump goes on again on this report, and he said this is nothing but a political witch hunt. Again, conducted by the intelligence agencies who are trying to, this is his accusation, that the intelligence agencies are in league with the Democrats trying to undermine his victory of November 8. And he also makes this outrageous claim. He admitted yesterday for the first time that this was Russia that was probably, he said, behind it. But after that, his answer is a great big so what, because he says China does the same thing. In fact, we've learned that China had broken into one of the big government agencies. I forget which one. Maybe the Social Security Fund or something. And they got the addresses of 22 million Americans. And Donald Trump says that's exactly what Russia, that's just like no different from what Russia was doing. And that nobody made a big deal of it at the time. Here's Trump yesterday.
As far as hacking, I think it was Russia, but I think we also get hacked by other countries and other people.
And he said that nobody did anything about it. He's wrong. He is absolutely wrong. He either doesn't know or he's lying. The fact is, when that China hack happened, I remember we talked about it. The media talked about it. It was on the front page. It was the top of the news for a week at least. Or more. I remember seeing stories. They tracked it right down to the Chinese Navy and the building where the hacking was taking place. And they raised holy hell about it. And by the way, yes, That was cyber warfare. That was cyber. That was a breach of cybersecurity. But that was not in the same league as interfering and trying to determine the outcome of an election for the next president of the United States. That gets to the fundamental core of this country, is what Russia was doing. It's in a league totally on its own, far above anything, worse than anything else everybody's doing. Donald Trump says, oh, it's just another hack. No, big deal. No big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. Other than the Donald Trump's free-for-all, hardly call it a news conference in New York yesterday, the big story in Washington was a confirmation hearing for Rex Tillerson, President-elect Trump's nominee to be Secretary of State. Our own foreign policy guru we share with the Plowshares Fund, Joe Cirincione, he's head of the Plowshares Fund, actually, joins us in studio. Hello, Joe. Good to see you.
Good morning. Nice to be here, Bill.
I want to get your take on that hearing. But first, some of the things that Donald Trump said about Russia. So first of all, in terms of his relationship, if we can, with Vladimir Putin, right?
Yes.
People say, well, this could be a problem that you and Putin are such or so buddy-buddy. Not for Donald Trump.
If Putin likes Donald Trump, guess what, folks? That's called an asset, not a liability.
Yeah, an unfortunate choice of words there. An asset in the spy trade is your agent, somebody you have
right.
in another country.
Right.
This is our asset in Moscow.
Yeah, so you know, all the CIA agents have their assets.
Right? Absolutely.
Who mean they're spies.
Absolutely. So I know what he meant to say, but unconsciously. But and of course, it is increasingly bizarre that Donald Trump cannot find anything bad to say about Vladimir Putin, a person that Marco Rubio yesterday in the Tillerson hearing was trying to press Tillerson to say he was a war criminal, mm-hmm. that he had conducted war crimes in Syria. Tillerson refused to do that. And Donald Trump continues to say only good things about Putin in this, I guess, are these the press conferences we're going to have now? These bizarre reality TV shows that pass as honest interchanges with the press? Well, it was a sad spectacle.
Well, Trump goes on to say that now Russia, to use his phrase, will have a lot more respect now, right? Than because he's going to be in the White House. Here he is again.
Russia will have much greater respect for our country when I'm leading it, then when other people have led it. You will see that. Russia will respect our country more. He shouldn't have done it. I don't believe he'll be doing it more now.
Okay.
Yeah, he claimed that as soon as he becomes president, just the act of him becoming president, talk
right.
about a God
yeah.
complex.
Yeah.
Just the act of him becoming president will end all Russian hacking. That's what he said yesterday. It's
yeah.
not
going to,
shouldn't
yeah.
have done it.
Yeah.
Bad thing. But by the way, look at all the great things we found out from the hacking. And then he went off on that. But he said he's not going to do it anymore. They'll respect us again. You know, the U.S.-Soviet-U.S.-Russian relationship has gone up and down over the years. Sometimes there's respect, sometimes there isn't. You'd have to say they don't respect us now. That's true.
Right.
They were very upset at Hillary Clinton and the efforts that she made to stand up for democracy in Russia during the elections, the rigged elections that got Putin reelected as president. So, yeah, there's been a feud that's going on. Is it good that feud's going to end now? That's what Trump thinks it is. Let's see what the deal is. What do we get out of this?
But clearly, we know from the intelligence agencies, the reason they did this hacking was they wanted Donald Trump to be the president. They did not want Hillary Clinton to be the president. There was a reason why they wanted Donald Trump. They must have felt they could get better treatment and get better deals and maybe, you know, less punchback.
And why they cheered in Moscow.
Right.
I mean, this is
yeah.
one of the most shocking things that the agencies just disclosed. There was cheering in the Kremlin when the election results were announced. Now, that is not a good sign. You do not want the Russian mafia/government cheering
right.
About the election of a person they clearly feel is going to be better for them in the White House.
Rex Tillerson, Yeah. You watched the hearing yesterday. Did you see a man that you think is qualified to be or should be the next Secretary of State?
Well, you know, here's the debate that's going on in this town, particularly among the Democrats. And it's a kind of question of whether you judge the man or whether you judge the position that he's been in. He spent 41 years at ExxonMobil, the largest oil company in the world. He's extremely wealthy, maybe worth more than Donald Trump, since we don't actually know how much Donald Trump is worth. But he's, you know, north of a half $1 billion in net worth. How do you feel about a man who's been pushing ExxonMobil's interest for all these years, has a huge deal with Russia, the biggest oil exploration deal ExxonMobil has by a factor of five is with Russia. They can't get to it. They can't exploit it because of the sanctions that have been put on Russia over Ukraine. How do you feel about putting him in charge of our relations? I think that this is a priori an inappropriate appointment. You should not put a position with this many in intrinsic conflicts of interest in charge of state relations of the United States. But a lot of Democrats are judging him as an individual. Is he a good man?
Fundamental to this, I believe, argument is that what's good for ExxonMobil is not necessarily good for the United States.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, people don't see that. They say, well, he's a good, big businessman, and so therefore, you know, he's got all the skills that he needs to be Secretary of State. But he was making deals that were not in our best interest. They were in ExxonMobil's best interest all around the world.
With corrupt African dictators, with the Kurds in Iraq at a time when the U.S. government expressly said, don't make that deal. You're weakening the central government, of course, with Russia at a time. So, when we're strained relations. So, but a lot of people are judging him on his skill set, on his demeanor, on his broad shoulders, on his looks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this man, is he competent to be Secretary of State? Of course he is. George Shultz was a corporate executive, made an excellent Secretary of State. So if you just judge him by his skill set, and here's the killer. A lot of Democrats are saying, what are our choices? If we don't accept him,
You could get a Rudy. You could get something a lot worse.
So they're kind of settling for Rex and brushing aside these corporate interests. I think that's short-sighted.
Now, you mentioned, and let's go, Jamie, if we can, to Marco Rubio trying to nail him down on a couple of issues. And the first was, how do you consider Russia? Here's Rubio.
I think. Is Vladimir Putin a war criminal?
I would not use that term.
And he did say Russia was a danger, but then he says, so he's not, as you pointed out, not a war criminal. But he is, isn't he? I mean, when you look at what he's done
in
Syria and in Ukraine and in Crimea, shooting down an airline.
500,000 people dead in Syria, largely because of the Russian bombing. Assad killed tens of thousands, maybe 100,000, but it was really the Russian bombing that escalated these and the indiscriminate bombing. By definition, that's a war crime, you know, targeting innocent civilians. It seemed to be implicit in the use of chlorine as a chemical agent in some of these barrel bombs that they dropped, et cetera. So, yes, and bombing humanitarian convoys, trying to give you all that, by definition, war crimes. Rubio is a true Republican hawk. A true hawk, and this is part of the divide in the Republican Party.
Who does not see Putin as a friend?
Does not at all, and is very concerned about this. Criticized Trump during the campaign on this issue, and it's part of the split. Half the Republican Party is now remarkably rolled over. Half the Republican Party now trusts Putin more than they trust Obama. Respect Putin more than they ever respected Obama. It's a disturbing trend in the party.
And where we know, as you pointed out, that Tillerson has said publicly that the sanctions against Russia are a mistake, original sanctions. Now that there are additional sanctions because of the hacking, I'm sure he thinks they're even more of a mistake, and that this $500 billion oil deal in Siberia is blocked, ExxonMobil's deal is blocked because of the sanctions. How did he come out yesterday on keeping or getting rid of the sanctions?
He hedged, as he did on many, many issues. He said, we have to look, we'll have to ascertain what the situation is, we'll have to make that judgment as we learn more. So he just punted down the road. And if anybody, do you doubt that he's going to lift these sanctions as soon as he possibly can?
No. I mean, again, he's not going to change his spots. I mean, that's his That's his position.
Yeah, this is going to be part of improving relations with Russia. It's going to be lifting the sanctions.
It's like Jeff Sessions on voting rights, right? You can't.
Yeah.
You can't take a guy, to me, who's been on the other side of the issue his entire freaking career, and then think suddenly he's going to change from day to night when he gets a different
job.
Yeah,
I mean, the way I look at this,
night to day.
He's been with ExxonMobil 41 years. He's going to be Secretary of State for 3 or 4. It's a temporary assignment for him.
Wow.
But you believe he gets confirmed?
The Democrats are not doing an effective job of countering his nomination. I know he's one of the top people on their hit list. There's lots of things you could talk about ExxonMobil's practices. They're not bringing up any of them. They're playing it soft so far.
I got to say,
Rubio is the toughest questioner they've had.
I was just going to say, if he's number one on the Democrats' hit list, he's in.
Yeah.
The only talk about yesterday in terms of who really took him on is Marco Rubio, not any Democrat.
By the way, 202-224-3041. 202-224-3041. That is the number to reach Marco Rubio's office. We had Dan Kildee in last week who said when it came to the Office of Ethics that they were trying to do away with, remember that?
Yes.
That these calls really matter. These members actually listen. When people call their office, they pay attention. And if you want Marco Rubio to do the right thing, give him a call, 202-224-3041. We tweeted it out at BP Show, too, if you want to call him.
Can we take an example of this about the hearing?
Yeah,
please. Crowdsourcing the hearing? Okay, so I'm tracking the hearing yesterday, and I see that Tillerson says this untrue thing about the Iran agreement. He says the Iran agreement doesn't stop Iran from buying a bomb. It only stops it from developing its own bomb. Bzz, wrong, absolutely untrue. Page 1 of the text of the agreement, paragraph 3, says Iran commits to never pursuing acquiring a nuclear weapon under any
circumstances. Factually wrong.
Factually wrong. It's if you even cursorily looked at the agreement, you would see it. You couldn't miss it. And so I tweet this out. Other people tweet this out. People I know then contact Democratic senators on the committee and tell them this. Sure enough, during the break, Tillerson gets the message, and he comes back and he corrects himself. So this is a real interesting case of how you can crowdsource these hearings. What people on the outside are doing matters. What they're calling matters. The tweeting matters.
Yeah.
People are paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like Waze at the congressional hearings. There's a police officer off to the right.
Yeah. Speed trap ahead.
Yeah.
It's a speed trap.
Right.
There you go.
Hey, everybody. This is Bill Press. Thanks for listening to the Bill Press and Friends podcast. And now, do yourself a favor. If you haven't already done so, subscribe to the show on iTunes. Here's what you do. Just search for the Bill Press Show. Then you can take us with you and listen in anywhere you go. And you'll get new shows from us as soon as they're posted. And one more thing. If you really enjoy Bill Press and Friends, please help us grow by telling a friend, writing a review, and giving us a rating on iTunes. It's so great to have you on board. Many thanks. Everybody's making news, it seems, but the President of the United States these days. He's laying low with all the confirmation hearings in the Congress and this big free-for-all up in New York where Donald Trump, standing alongside of a huge pile of documents, which he says prove that he is separating himself from any business activities of the Trump empire for the next time, however long he's in the White House. He rolled out an attorney, introduced an attorney, Sherry Dillon, who said that, of course, you can't certainly expect Donald Trump to destroy his business just because he was elected president.
Selling his assets without the rights to the brand would greatly diminish the value of the assets and create a fire sale. President-elect Trump should not be expected to destroy the company he built.
Melanie Sloan with us, a government ethics expert and founder of Summer Strategies. I thought she almost gave a campaign speech yesterday.
Yeah. Can we just start with my very favorite part of yesterday is where Trump basically says being president of the United States is a part-time job.
Yes.
Yeah. Leader of the free world, but you could run your business at the same time as running the United States.
Well, I know. I want to. I do want to ask because he said he has the first of all.
Just like
he has the legal part-time. Right to do that. He
yeah.
could.
And he says not only does he have the legal right, he says he could manage
he could
it both.
Do it
he
both.
Could do both managing the company and being the president of the United States. Part-time job.
Right. But the only reason he's not doing that is because.
Because he cares so much.
Yeah. He really.
Out of the goodness of his heart.
But right. the truth is he actually is planning to do both. I mean, that's what you really got out of yesterday. He's actually planning to do both because the fact is he's going to leave it with his sons and there's no blind. He's going to read about it in the newspapers. He's going to know exactly what's going on at all times. We had a really.
He says that they're never going to talk to him about what's going on and he'll be totally ignorant of anything.
Right. So, First, that sounds like another fake news item.
Yeah.
And secondly, he can read about it. You know, anytime he reads about anything that's going on in the papers, hears about it any other way, he'll still know about it. This was such an unusual step for the newly elected president to take that I think we saw an unprecedented moment where the head of the Office of Government Ethics actually called him out on it. Mm-hmm. The Office of Government Ethics is generally a sleepy office. You know, they are not the people who are front and center. Walter Schaub is not like a well-known name in America.
Yeah,
and
right.
yet here he was yesterday after this press conference saying that this is unprecedented action by the president of the United States and the president-elect, and it's not good enough.
Right. So that, in fact, this firewall, right, that they were talking, I don't know where they used that phrase yesterday, that they were erecting between Donald Trump and his business doesn't exist, is what you're saying.
Doesn't exist. Kind of like that, you know,
so
wall
it's
going
to be, what, for the next, let's say, however many years, just one conflict of interest after another?
One conflict of interest after another, and we don't have to wait for them to start. You know, we've already been seeing it. We've already been seeing foreign governments who want to curry favor with Trump, you know, using Trump hotels and the Trump businesses. You know, they've been having meetings since the day after the election about new business that they're planning to do around the world.
Is it true that this law that you have to separate yourself from any financial interest that does not apply to the presidency?
It is true that it doesn't apply to the presidency. However, every president has followed it.
Right.
And
again, because it's a full-time job.
Because it's a full-time job. And because you don't, you know, if you've been elected to the presidency of the United States, that's a great honor. And you want to be responsible to the United States. You're not actually supposed to be worrying about your personal business interests. So one of the things that's so ironic about what the lawyer, Sherry Dillon, was saying is like, it's a fire sale. He shouldn't be expected to lose.
Yeah.
Of course he should. Nobody made you run for president of the United States. If you didn't want to do it, if you didn't want to lose money, then don't take the job. Don't run. If you want to keep all that, run the Trump business. You were good at that.
I mean,
you might have been good at
it. It's public service.
It's public service.
Right? You're getting into this to help the public.
Right.
The whole goal here is to enrich the entire nation, not just yourself.
Not Donald Trump's goal.
His goal
his goal, I believe, I've said that so many times, is to enrich himself. That's why he ran for president.
Yes. And, you know, this is in contrast to, by the way, Rex Tillerson, the nominee for Secretary of State, about whom we could say many less positive things. But on the positive front, what we can say is he has really done everything he can to divest himself of his interest in Exxon. Here he was the chairman of Exxon at Exxon for a very long time. And he has actually divested himself in a way that will lose him money.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, here he is willing to lose money in order to be Secretary of State, but the person who's got to be president says, no, I can't lose any money.
All right. So they did say, I think of some of the details of this so-called firewall. One, that the Trump empire will make no foreign deals as long as Donald Trump is in the White House.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that means, really, because, you know, and he was talking about this deal he gave up in Dubai recently. But
he said just like 2 days ago, he was offered two. By the way, I thought that was instructive. $2 billion deal he was offered in Dubai. So while he's president-elect, he is still meeting with these guys.
Right. Because it's a part-time job.
Talking about deals.
Right.
Talking about deals.
Right. And would it have been $2 billion, by the way, before he was elected president of the United States?
Right.
You know, another question. But, you know, they were also meeting ever since I think there was the Indonesia and the Philippines. So he's had, there's been any number of meetings about business.
Mexico.
So, So they've been having them consistently. So, you know, I think the jury is really out on whether that was meaningful, what he said about that. No foreign deals.
So maybe some of the ones that are already ongoing, I guess, would be...
Grandfathered in,
right.
I mean, they didn't talk about that, so...
Okay. And he also
weird
said...
Weird that they didn't talk about that.
Yeah. So, and he ended his news conference in an unusual way saying, so what this means is that they're in charge. And then 8 years later, when I come back, I hope to be able to say, hey, boys, you did a great job. Doesn't that kind of mean you made a lot of money for me?
Right. You made a lot of money for me. And also, you know, he also said that if they weren't doing a good job, they'd be fired. So if they weren't doing a good job and they'd be fired, that means he actually knows what's going on in the business, doesn't it? Because how can you fire somebody for not doing a good job if you don't know what's going on in the
business?
Of course.
No, that's what I mean. I thought that statement undercut the purpose of the entire news conference.
Yeah.
Bring our good friend, this congressman from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. Member of the Progressive Caucus. Are you now co-chair?
The first vice chair.
First vice chair.
Keith Ellison and Ralger Hallvars are co-chairs.
Congressman Mark Burkhan. Good to see you, Congressman.
Absolutely. Good to
Happy
see you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome,
you too.
Welcome to
the
program. So, did you have a chance to catch any of this Donald Trump?
Oh, my God.
Do we want to call it a news conference? Whatever it was yesterday.
10 minutes to initiate nausea, I think, is what it was that I saw of it. 10 minutes. I couldn't do much more. I watched him attack Lindsey Graham, who on TV right now.
Still fighting with him over his numbers in the primary.
He's never 4 years from now, he's still going to be doing those same fights because he thinks he won and that's it. There's never accountability. There's never anything else as president. He's now in charge. But watching that, just his demeanor, the way he answered questions, attacking the press. I couldn't really watch more than about 10 minutes of it.
One thing I know, I almost fell off the couch yesterday. I found myself surprised at something Donald Trump said and actually agreeing with him. He took on Big Pharma. And
yes,
he said, okay, I've gone after Ford and GM, and now next I'm going to go after the drug companies because we are the largest purchaser of drugs in the world and we cannot negotiate for lower prices with the drug companies. This is wrong. We're going to do it. I thought it was Bernie Sanders talking, me.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Let's go with that theory. But, this is something that I've worked with, Jan Schakowsky, Rosa DeLauro, Lloyd Doggett, and others on this, and would be glad to work
it's
with him.
It's a big flaw in Obamacare, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. In fact, that's the driver we saw for any of the medical costs that started going back up, because we saw them flatten when the Affordable Care Act came out. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it was the pharmaceutical companies. And it wasn't just Pharma Bro, who was doing it, but then it was the EpiPen and some of the other situations. So that was probably the most arrogant industry that started spiking healthcare costs again. And if he's sincere about what he says, and again, not like infrastructure where you use a word and then there's a semantical debate about what it means, if he's really sincere, that could be a place that we could find some positive outcomes.
So Donald Trump also said yesterday at his news conference that, we're going to repeal Obamacare because we have to repeal Obamacare. He goes on and on, makes those arguments, lies about what's happening with Obamacare. But what I was struck by, he says, but we're going to replace it simultaneously. At the same time that they vote to repeal, he said the same hour, the same day, same hour even, they're going to replace it with something else. Yeah, really?
I got the feeling that's going to be another semantical problem. I think we're going to have a lot of I remember studying in high school. Was it remember Senator Hayakawa? Is that the right name? Yeah, from California. Remember he was a semantics professor. I remember having a class around that. And I think it's how you define the word. So I think what they're going to try to do is they realize they can't just get rid of it. And then, because they absolutely have no idea for replacement, but everyone thinks that that's not acceptable. So they have to come up with something that looks like a replacement, but it's not going to be a real replacement. It's going to be the cubic zirconia of healthcare. It's going to look like they're doing something, but I don't think you're going to actually have a real policy or program. And we have to hold them accountable on that. We have to make sure that people realize that this is not going to provide anything for the 20 million people that are currently getting access.
But, what about those 20 million people who now have coverage who never could have it before?
Doing an event this Saturday because this is our weekend of action for the Democrats around the Affordable Care Act, and we're doing it in Rock County, about 90 yards outside Paul Ryan's district, because that's my district, but it is outside. I think you drive through both districts going up into the parking lot.
He can hear you. 90 yards, if you play your cards right, he'll hear you.
But it's in the district. Well, actually, I won't say. He knows I've done things there before. There's a technical college. But we want to show that there are people who are going to lose access. And there's hospitals, rural hospitals, which we have a lot of in my district and across the country, that really are going to be hurt by what this is going to do. And we want to make sure people are really understanding that, that as much as they like all the benefits, that's what the Affordable Care Act was. It was making sure that people with pre-existing conditions got health care and keeping children on policies till they're 26 and making sure that women pay the same as men and that pre-existing that you had preventive care. I mean, all those things are the Affordable Care Act. And now that's the parts they say they want to keep. They just want to get rid of the revenue, which is completely illogical.
Jamie, if we can, Donald Trump yesterday talked about Obamacare, and he said, in effect, that he's doing you, Congressman, he's doing you a big favor. Here he is.
Obamacare is the Democrats' problem. We are going to take the problem off the shelves for them. We're doing them a tremendous service by doing it.
Isn't that nice of him?
He's always looking out for me.
He's a giver.
Yeah, he's a giver.
So,
oh, man.
So you're going to thank Donald Trump now for helping you out, right?
I'll tell you, I think once he grabs control of this, he's responsible for anything that happens. So
it's got to be his problem, well, right?
And I'll tell you, I think there's a lot of not so good players in this industry that are going to take advantage of this to spike rates. And he's now responsible for this because as he starts to tinker with it, and you're going to see those costs go up, he's going to be responsible. And there's a bunch of issues around this that I think he's opening up a giant can of worms that are going to be beneficial to us politically. I don't want necessarily to be, I'd much rather it be beneficial to the people who need health care, but
yeah, right.
There is going to be a political benefit to us as they start to do this because that caucus is like, the Adams family looks like a average middle-class family compared to the Republican caucus, right? And you got to understand that they're going to have a hard time bringing all those diverse, sometimes crazy elements together to support something. And that's why, you know, the simultaneously replacing it is not going to be as easy as they say.
Right. I mean, they will own it. He will own it.
The Republicans will own it when Donald Trump starts to do this. And I look forward to having those conversations with American people.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
Well, President Obama doesn't have a lot of time left, but there's one thing he ought to do before he leaves office, and that is to either pardon or commute the sentence of Chelsea Manning. Reportedly, she is on the president's shortlist, and she deserves to be freed from the 35-year sentence she's now serving. Number one, because there's no evidence of any damage to our national security because of the documents she leaked back in 2010. Number two, because she's gone through a lot of pain with gender transition surgery and two suicide attempts in prison. Number three, because she got 35 years while David Petraeus got no time for doing a lot worse. Mr. President, free Chelsea Manning. That's my parting shot for today. I'm Bill Press.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering. So you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.